This is CLWA3 Network.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by TVC, the Truth Value Convenience Shopping Network.
Yeah, check it out, folks. The John Cena t-shirt. It can be yours, and you can let little Jimmy go to school with it on for the low price of $25. What we got here? We got some John Cena DVDs. Legendary. Think about it. What we got? John Cena baseball cap. John Cena autograph. John Cena t-shirts. Everywhere John Cena. Rey Mysterio. I beat him a long time. Zach Ryder got a t-shirt. The only place you can find me is in a program. And guess who's on the front cover? Surprise, surprise. John Cena. You know what? Y'all want it? Psych, you can't get it. Sail over.
Unfortunately, we couldn't hear that the first time around, but hopefully our technical difficulties will not cause this show to fall into itself. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat, here at the CLW83 Network. My name is Nikki Heyman, and I was recently banished from the IWA, which I would love to talk more about, but unfortunately the video still has not been posted. I will look into that as the show progresses. Everybody for my show is going to show up. Thankfully, I see two of my me and three showing up. So I'll start with the person who showed up first, who is usually our fourth, coincidentally, fourth.
Thank you, and I actually enjoyed the opening of Raw for some weird reason. It was just too damn funny.
Even without the audio, it was good. It was really good for a laugh, and the show, you know, it took an hour for a segment to fix it. So let's see. Let me look a little bit south of me here, and one of our newer panelists, Mr. Brian Henniger.
Hit him with the bowling chair.
I don't think that would have slowed him down.
Nah, here I am. Sorry for the delay. Skype's being a you-know-what tonight, but I'm here.
No, I appreciate that. I am eagerly awaiting the arrival of our fourth person while he's trying to get his act together. I am going to speak further about the technical difficulties from Monday night. There was apparently something screwy going on with the audio that they, you know, at one point the audio and the video were completely out of sync. Where we had, I believe it was the live audio, and then the video was delayed. I might have that backwards right this second. But It was off enough that you're looking around going, what in the world is going on? When transitions were happening, you could see some actual flicker from one shot to the next, audio coming in and out, and when they did have audio, it sounded like it was only coming in on one channel. Somebody got fired Monday night. I really honestly think that somebody got fired.
I had the picture in my head of that person already putting his stuff into a little box and walking out.
I would just think he would have the courtesy to stick around and fix it. Somewhere it did get fixed, though, because the West Coast feed and the segment itself on WWE.com is intact. And, you know, we just did you the favor and played you the first half of the nonsense. Blowing up over the fact that he has zero merchandise short of his ugly mug somewhere in the program. And he's got a point. Truth has only has had two T-shirts released for him since his arrival in 2008. And granted, I wasn't watching the Fed during the Attitude Era, so maybe one of you guys could help me out on this. Did R-Truth have any merchandise during his K-Quick days?
Not that I'm aware of.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, well, let me see if my number can fill me in on this. Ladies and gentlemen, the core of the Big Apple, Mr. Jason Block.
I am sorry about that. I apologize. I was placing an order on something for my new Zack Ryder T-shirt, and the WWE shop line was so busy. I'm sorry. So.
You weren't the booth that had been caved in. I know it took them a little while to put it back together. In the meantime, all the fans stole whatever merchandise was outside the confines of the booth.
Right, exactly.
Also included the hands.
It was pretty bad. I don't think there was any shirts for K-Quick. I mean, there may have been one, I think. Maybe. During the Attitude Era.
Now I do remember that he was wasn't it like a really small part of DX, like in their last 9 days?
He teamed with Road Dogg briefly, but I think that was after DX imploded.
Okay.
Road Dogg was talking about Truth and the fact that they ended up getting paired up. Road Dogg supposedly was the one who got Truth a recommendation after seeing him work in Memphis, and the two just hit it off. They apparently had really good chemistry, and you know, Truth got the exposure he needed to stay up here in the upper echelons of the wrestling business. I'm almost wondering if they no, never mind. They're probably not going to touch that continuity. That's too far back. They might go back 2 or 3 years with a main event storyline, but I don't think they'll go back 10.
No.
Although, I'm going to say this whole technical difficulties bit might be a blessing in disguise, because you and I know R-Truth's going to bring this up on Raw this coming Monday, saying that the man is out to get him and even sabotaged his big speech.
Yeah, that'll be great. That you know what? They would work that and make it into a positive, because R-Truth right now has been doing some of his best work.
Amen.
What they did was they toned the racism back and went towards the crazy.
Black man.
I'm sorry?
I miss the angry black man.
But now he's just the crazy black man.
And it works even better, in my opinion.
Yeah, it does. I mean, because what it does is that he's just... The way he's playing it is just beautiful, because he sees John Cena everywhere, including with Little Jimmy, Big Jimmy, Jimmy Bob.
their Uptown Brother James?
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, I caught this on SmackDown that R-Truth will get his title shot for capital punishment if he apologizes for what he did to Little Jimmy and Big Jimmy at the end of Raw this past Monday night, which involves a collector's cup full of soda.
You know, those things are like $8 at a house show. If he'd wasted my collector's cup full of Pepsi, I'd be pissed.
and from what I'm hearing, he's going to do that. That's pretty much going to be the main event at Capital Punishment.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty darn awesome, and I hope that, you know, they keep going with R-Truth's push even after Morrison comes back, because some part of me wants to say that this is Morrison's spot, but R-Truth is just in one of those right place, right time situations that he gets to step up and do something.
Well,
right.
you know what I think it is? I don't think it's Morrison's spot. It's a spot that R-Truth has been handed the ball and has been running with it. I mean, anybody could be handed a spot. It's just what you do with it. And the last few weeks, R-Truth has taken this to a whole new level and made himself into one of the top heels in the company.
Oh, I agree.
I'm enjoying it. I'm really, really enjoying it. This heel turn is freshening him up considerably. This is a true 180 for the character R-Truth, because as he references in his own promos, the fact that everybody's used to him rapping and dancing, they don't know what to do now that he's running around being the angry black man. I'm sorry, crazy black man.
Well, can I just say the thing I love most about his character, and what I think is the best thing, is his eyes. The way he bugs out his eyes whenever he goes on a rant, I think that is awesome.
And he just, just looking around at the crowd.
What are you looking at?
go ahead, Nikki. You were saying?
Yeah, I was just saying the fact that, he's got the crazy eyes looking around at the crowd, and just, because you're right, and as I said, his opening promo, even without the audio, was extremely entertaining and still got its point across.
Exactly.
And
although only one thing will put this over the top, if he goes the full Samuel L. Jackson and starts using the phrase "my black ass."
No,
I don't know if could be PG.
No, what I also like is, and you pointed this out a couple weeks ago, Nikki, was the fact that he comes out to no music. He just comes out to "the truth shall set you free." That's it. It's beautiful.
Yes.
It's awesome.
And that's all he needs, because, I joke that they should have done an angry remix to Get Rowdy. But I don't, again, that's continuity that I don't think they're going to touch.
No.
Although, if they want to play with some continuity, a picture has surfaced, and I found this over on the fan boards, of the SmackDown team celebrating from Bragging Rights 09. R-Truth is with the group, but you can't see him.
Okay.
He's behind somebody.
Who?
I want to say Edge. I don't have the picture immediately in front of me. Let me see if I can find. I don't know if I can find it again.
I don't. Was Edge on that team?
He did. Well, I could. Like I said, I could be wrong. I'm trying to. I can try to find this picture again. But. He was blocked out of the group, which amused me, and amused the poster in question, who just said, more conspiracy. Although, speaking of spots, another big thing that came down with Raw this week was Karma giving the mic.
Yes.
It comes up as a great big piece of mood whiplash with the way she had been used over in, from her debut up. That she came across very articulate. She was very straightforward and still very passionate about her thing. Oh, here's the picture. I'll get back to the picture in just a second. And bringing up how Jim Ross essentially told her she would never make it, which Jim Ross caught a lot of flack about. Oh. But that was the fuel she needed to get where she needed to be.
Exactly. The words that were used on Raw is that Jim Ross called her too fat.
That's a
that's a pot in a kettle right there, I think.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to play some pot and kettle, Karma got bitten by her own bit of karma in the fact that she finally got where she wanted to be, and now she can't enjoy it.
Although they did a great job in setting up a feud a year down the road where the Bellas came out and kind of mocked her and her pregnancy, and she said, I hope you're still here in a year so I can get my revenge.
Yeah. I look forward to her coming back. I look forward to her killing people again.
You know, I went Raw in Knoxville. You all have been so proud of me. I tried, and I tried so hard to start a Karma's Gonna Kill You chant, but I was the only one. So I looked kind of silly.
It happens. And for the record, I found the bragging rights picture in question. R-Truth is behind Jericho. Because, see, the picture shows Tyson Kidd, Jericho, Kane, D.H. Smith, and Matt Hardy, with R-Truth almost directly behind Jericho. But you can see the outline of his dreads, and he's got his arm draped around Tyson Kidd.
Uh-huh.
So, hopefully somebody should just send that to Killings. And if we get some Twitter freaks out there at Ron Killings, send him this picture and enjoy the rant of a response you're going to get.
Well, speaking of things, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Nikki. I didn't mean to talk over you, hon.
Oh no! Please. Speaking of, what did you have?
Well, speaking of developments, did you happen to watch Superstars yesterday?
I don't get WGN with my current TV provider.
Well, it's on YouTube now. Tyson Kidd has decided upon a manager, and it will make you and me very happy.
Who do you get?
Matt Stryker.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Really?
Because Matt Stryker is a heck of a manager. He had his Monster Squad when he was when he did a short stint of managing in ECW. And, of course, I'm sure when Tyson Kidd asked him...
It's a mark-out moment! A mark-out, bro!
Well, actually, the way they're doing it is, look, you don't need a manager. What you need is an agent. Someone to open up doors for you. And he says, I am Matt Stryker. I'm a super agent. And I will take you places. I mean, he was good.
I've heard that term super agent before, haven't you, Nikki?
Well, I've done my share.
Yeah, so is your uncle, actually.
Well, he is. And so, you know, I'm sure they bandied about the idea and told Stryker he could use the term.
Please do it! Please!
That never gets old. That never gets old.
Oh, beautiful.
So, you know, much congratulations. I would rather see Stryker doing that than as a backstage interview getting bullied around by the likes of Kali and Jinder Mahal.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Speaking of bullying, we had some bullying down south. PW Insider lost a valuable information stream because Universal Studios is starting to get anal about spoilers for TNA for Impact Wrestling taping.
What?
Yeah. So, that a PW Insider reporter got caught writing his spoilers down or texting his spoilers or whatever, and he got thrown out of the Impact Zone.
I believe he also got thrown out of the park, too, if I'm not mistaken.
If anybody wants to go look that up for me, all I know is that I know he got thrown out of the Impact Zone. And, hey, Dixie, you need to remind the people at Universal Studios that you need all the fans you can get, the way Bischoff is chasing off your IP contingent, and the fact that the writing scares everybody else out.
Let me look on 411 Wrestling. Let me take a look for that.
Hold on, so, I got it here on PW Insider, the self, actually. So here is actually what happened here. Okay. Here. John Benoit, who had been a semi-regular correspondent for TNA events as well as other events in the Orlando area, was ejected from tonight's Impact Wrestling tapings. Benoit was ejected from a TNA producer and then walked off Universal property by an Orlando police officer. Benoit was shown PWInsider.com's website on a mobile device owned by a member of TNA security and then informed he was being thrown out. Okay. Yes. And as you said, when ratings are down 10%, and Eric Bischoff basically tells the internet wrestling community to go fuck itself, excuse my language, not a good week for TNA.
No. Or the fact that apparently Mick Foley has been given the old bootski after his little Twitter joke.
No, I don't think so. I think that's storyline.
No, the fact that they dropped him completely out of the network storyline and then tell us that off-screen he got fired. TNA can be stupid, but is this a little too stupid?
Yeah.
It is. I've been watching. If you have watched WCW 2000, you're not missing a whole lot. It's just one or two work shoots away from basically being the same thing.
Well, I quit watching the company in October of 2010, and I have not looked back. They have not given me good enough reason to come back. And while I don't want to see them fail, they're doing a really, really good job of just pushing themselves right to that point. They apparently want to be so much like that. They want to be WCW 1999-2000, and they just don't understand the criticism that's coming in from the fan base.
I don't know. How about it sucks?
It's that simple. I mean, I had a discussion on the fan boards. Why? I come out of the TNA wars. Is there, you know, I see all this negativity. Why do you guys still watch it? One of the guys says because it's got such great MST3K factor.
So you watch a show to criticize it instead of watching a show to enjoy it. That makes no sense to me.
Thank you. That's pretty much what I said. If you're still there doing the MST3K, then you must be getting something out of it. That something is still entertaining you, even if it's just yourself shitting all over the product. Personally, if I don't like it, I turn the TV off because life's too short to watch bad wrestling.
Unless you're Spoony.
Spoony is a masochist.
Yeah. Actually, and I'm pretty sure that most of it is just like him playing a character, but he just comes off like a jerk to me sometimes. I mean, it's like the kind of guy where if you met him in person, you wouldn't really enjoy meeting him.
I've never understood the appeal. I've never been able to make it through any of his shows. I was recommended his site about a year and a half ago, and I tried. I did try.
Now Linkara is awesome. That's just the way it is. To me, Linkara is the best guy out there.
I'll have to research that.
Well, speaking of TNA, as I was preparing for my new job interviews next week, I was listening to an internet radio show out of England called TalkSport.co.uk.
Oh.
Okay. And they had Kurt Angle in studio promoting the Impact Wrestling tour for early 2012. But he also said something very interesting. He announced to the English crowd that he claimed to be training for the 2012 U.S. Olympic wrestling team, and he wants to try out for it.
He won't make it. He's too old.
And he also claimed something very interesting. He said that he claims he was dabbling in MMA, and he was actually, according to him, signed to a couple of federations, including UFC. According to him, he was paid by UFC, but did not have enough time to prepare for him to be in the Fed. Do you believe that?
I've got an answer right about here.
And might I chime in with, wrong, 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 wrong.
Okay. No, okay.
I may not have the word wrong, but I would like to put here any time Arnold Schwarzenegger has said the word bullshit.
Okay.
No, and I'm having trouble believing it. I really think this is just a hey, look at me kind of thing.
Okay.
He's just trying to get some attention because, Angle is an amazing performer, great wrestler,
one of the best of all time.
You know, I'll agree. One of the very best.
He is one of the best.
Go ahead, Maggie.
He's worried that he's losing his relevance. I mean, I can point to all the nonsense that he did at, what was it, Moonsault Off the Cage. A couple of things he did at a pay-per-view in recent months that he didn't have to do. He's a good enough wrestler that he doesn't have to go out there and do the crazy crap.
Oh, don't feed his ego!
Yeah.
So, you know, Kurt, if you are trying out for the Olympics, more power to you. You know, I'd love to hear that you actually got in, but I have a feeling the rest of these kids are going to just tie you in knots. Plus, I thought, and I could be wrong, that you weren't allowed to be a professional athlete to be in the Olympics, although professional wrestling isn't technically a sport.
Well, no, because professional basketball players compete in the Olympics.
You do not know how much that irritated me when they closed that loophole. I mean, I said that wrong. I found it irritating that they opened the door to let these guys in. It probably generated some great money, but these guys are already the first team, you know, combined was probably making over $100 million a year. They don't need the Olympics.
Well, now, to be fair, the foreign basketball players can play for their home countries, and that does kind of help to balance things out a little bit.
I don't know.
I happen to agree with you. I think they should have kept the college players in, but that's just me. But it was interesting to see Kurt doing his thing. But, you know, speaking of basketball, our good buddy Jim Ross actually made the New York Times this week because he commented because the NBA Finals are this week. And they were talking about the fact that Jim Ross stated that LeBron James was pretty much being a heel in how he made his quote-unquote decision. He said, and I quote, after a long productive tenure as a fan favorite, he changed the storyline and the way he did it by going on ESPN with Jim Gray as his straight man was a classic wrestling promotion, Ross said. A hero doesn't brag on his own abilities. It was a self-centered view that told his fans, I've changed my philosophy. And of course Ross said he doesn't think of LeBron James as a real-life heel, but how he did it was wrestling-like and basically a heel promo. And it was very interesting, the fact that Jim Ross made mainstream media this week.
Well, Bill Simmons, who writes for ESPN.com, he drew a lot of comparisons to the decision announcement and when Hulk Hogan turned heel at Bash at the Beach. He actually rewrote that particular storyline. He rewrote the promo, and he put LeBron into Hulk Hogan's position, and it was actually kind of cool.
I just can't see LeBron wearing the red and yellow, though.
Well, he wore purple and yellow. That's halfway there, so. I'm thinking of Kobe Bryant.
Boo!
May I have your attention, please? I have just received an email from the anonymous general manager on my sidekick.
Let's see. And I quote, "You guys have fallen completely off topic. This is a wrestling show, not a basketball show."
Sorry.
So, for this, you guys are all being put in a brief timeout as we need to cover our station identification. So, I shall identify us as the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net on the CLW83 network. Just give us a couple minutes. We'll be right back.
I am indeed ready for such an occasion.
It's helpful.
You will be living like a king. I guarantee it.
It's intelligent.
I just assumed that birth control was treated the same way they handled everything else back then. With leeches.
It's just plain weird.
Schmuckers, how sweet it is inside those armpits, I tell you.
It's the CLW 83 Night Shift.
The answer to the question that America wants to know. Am I wearing pants? And I believe Carl has somebody for us. Who do you got, Carl? Got nothing, just like always. Okay.
You prick.
So we're going to go ahead and see if we could bring in a caller.
Yes,
and let's
yes,
see
yes.
if he's run off somewhere.
Please hang up, call again, or contact...
The CLW 83 Night Shift. New show Saturday, June 4th at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Same time, same place, same horrible jokes.
Only on the CLW 83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news?
3, 4, maybe 5?
Do yourself a favor and make that number 1.
WrestleChat.net,
the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW ROH and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
This is Daniela Martin, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network.
There's a fly in my soup.
And we're back. And so I caught a couple more emails from the anonymous pro general manager, and he said, if we must talk about sports, we're going to have to make a direct comparison. I'm speaking directly specifically of the WWE video game franchise. SmackDown versus Raw is done. We will be starting next year with WWE 12. Speaking specifically, it's very similar to the EA sports franchise titling scheme. And they decided that they had to slap only one guy on the cover, and I think they were just protecting themselves from R-Truth when they picked Randy Orton.
Baby oil!
There we go.
Well, baby oil!
To be fair, though, I thought at least the first half of the trailer was at least somewhat well done.
Now, I haven't seen the trailer. I've seen the box art,
and that's about it. And the video,
I'll send you a link to the trailer right now. Just give me a second. It's about a minute and a half long. It's basically a lot of... there's no game footage in it. It's basically him being... basically Randy Orton being, well, Randy Orton. And here it is right here. So you can type it... I'm sorry. This is the correct one. The second link I just sent you, not the one with the slash in it. Okay?
Okay.
Yes. Okay. And, well, the reason why they announced this, by the way, the release date is November 22nd. The reason why they announced this is because the big video game convention, which is E3, happens this week in Los Angeles, where all the major video game companies announce their big shots for the holiday season 2012. And we all know that the WWE SmackDown versus Raw franchise was one of the biggest sellers in the gaming industry. So,
although my personal opinion had gotten a little bit stale over the last few years, and maybe this will freshen it up a little bit.
Right. They are really putting all their eggs in Randy Orton's basket for being the cover athlete and all that good stuff. He's the guy behind the game at List Release. This is where they're. It's very interesting though, because I was doing a little checking, because this is actually the first time in, I believe, 3 years where one John Cena does not appear on the box cover. And that's a little interesting.
As I said, I still think it's protection from R-Truth.
Protection from why?
You saw what he did to the car stand? What do you think he's going to do at a GameStop?
Oh, oh, that's true.
It would be the Impact game ad all over again.
Yes.
Although, admittedly, I would pay a lot of money to see R-Truth and somebody else have a brawl in a video game store, a la the TNA Impact video game ad.
Yes. But seriously, from what I'm hearing, they are retooling the engine from the ground up, and it looks pretty. From the screenshots that I saw, looks pretty good. And as I said, it comes out November 22nd for. Across multiple platforms for Xbox 360, the Wii, and PS3. So for those who, pre-order that stuff, check that out. It's going to be fun.
Okay. We've got that to look forward to. We also are going to start reserving some space on our bookshelves come 2013. Jericho announced on his Twitter that the contract has been signed, that he will be writing a third book.
Outstanding.
And I am very excited for this. And I think I lost somebody on our panel. Fourth, are you still here?
I'm still here.
Okay, we lost Brian. Brian, come back. We miss you already. But Okay. I read Lion's Tale cover to cover. Loved it. I'm about two-thirds of the way through and have enjoyed every second of it. A third book, which will pretty much pick up, whatever he's going to do. Let's see, because Undisputed goes all the way up to Savas. So the third book will cover from Savas to maybe him getting ready to walk back through the door, since he should be showing up sooner than later to the Fed. Fourth, have you read either of the books?
I read a little bit of the first one, but I wasn't able to really finish it, but it was definitely a very good book from what I read.
If you get a chance, pick up the second book. It's actually a pretty breezy read. and it fills in some blanks for me about some of the stuff that was going down, especially especially around 2002, 2003, because I wanted answers. I still don't think he gave me the right answer about the towels incident during his and Christian's feud with the Dudleys. Raw in particular I'm speaking of. Jericho claims in his second book that they were wearing thongs.
Not from that picture you showed me.
I didn't take this picture, but hidden on my website, NikkiHayman.com, is a picture of Jericho and Christian fleeing for their lives after Spike Dudley stole their towels. I don't see no thong. I don't see no junk, but I don't see no thong. And Jericho, you have a nice ass. Christian.
Well, now.
It's my show, damn it. I should say things like.
Yes. But yes. Yeah, I think he's full of it, but that's pretty damn funny.
So I have this evidence. One, you know, I should probably send it to Jericho and say, just don't post this anywhere. Okay. Let's go to something a little more, a touch more PG. WWE is continuing to add to their roster from the luchador end of things, as well-known Rugal from TMLL, Inferno, has been signed to WWE. He's wrapping up his commitments with his federation, including a mask versus mask match that he is most likely going to lose. Judging from name information that the FCW random name generator has been spitting out, Averna will be working for the Fed without his mask.
Uh-huh.
So, let me get Brian back in here real quick. Brian?
I'm back, guys. I don't know what happened. My phone my call just died completely.
I promise you, I did not press the button to cause that.
I wasn't accusing you of anything, probably just one of those things.
Oh, no, I'm just, you know, letting you know that it wasn't me. I mean, I'm not somebody who kicks people off shows.
Who does that?
The rumor is that they want to have Averno work against Sin Cara, actually, because they've worked together in CMLL.
And also, from what I'm reading, this is pretty bad news for CMLL because they've sort of been the TNA of the two big wrestling promotions in Mexico, and this might be a nail in the coffin for them.
Mm.
What, the number one is AAA?
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a shame because, you know, I'm all for competing organizations. At the highest level, at least, wrestling organizations are not going to be terribly underhanded, or at least we don't see a lot of it on camera. Such things as WWE just utterly and completely ignoring TNA, and then TNA just saying everything they can to get their attention. That's not competition. CMLL and AAA, that's competition. At the indie level, it's, do you have a good enough card that I have to call the Athletic Commission to see if I can get you shut down? So, I might be a little bitter, especially since I had been excommunicated from IWA last night.
What?
In the most unceremonious way possible.
Was this the Ian Rotten promotion?
No, this isn't Mid-South. This is another branch of IWA that runs a little bit south of here in picturesque Chillicothe, Ohio. I was attempting to make some history. As the typical manager of Super Oprah, I was hoping to crown the first female IWA U.S. champion. To which the current champion, David Lanning, came out and decided to not only undermine my authority as a member, as an esteemed member of the championship committee, had the room convinced that I had no sway whatsoever, puts me in a title versus career match that I had won until the senior referee decided to stick his nose in my business. I cannot be faulted for our regular referee not seeing a minor collision of David Lanning's head with my phone. Yet the senior referee insisted on restarting the match. The referee then suffered further injury, but apparently not enough to decide to take the lead, take over for the senior referee, and count three after Super Oprah takes a rock bottom. I was then assaulted by multiple members of the IWA locker room, which was including but not limited to the loss of my coat, my hat, half of my ponytail, duct tape.
You cannot be serious.
My God, I am serious. Duct tape over my mouth with threats to bind my hands, bind my leg. They throw me out of the ring. They continue to pound Super as I am attempting to defend myself, where our esteemed U.S. champion sneaks up behind me and puts me in a TAS mission.
There is no justice in this world, Nikki.
There isn't. The next thing I remember is one of these clowns stepping on my ponytail as they're carrying me outside.
That's absolute shame. Absolute, absolute shame.
So if they don't want me that badly, then I will not return and their attendance will continue to drop.
Yes. Absolutely.
And I don't know whose idea it was to bring that fan into the ring to slap the taste out of my mouth.
You're kidding.
They actually went a picket to get her hands on me.
This is hideous. Hideous treatment on your part, on their part, excuse me.
Well, speaking of independent shows, I will be doing some work for the NAWC. I will be the official correspondent for an independent show occurring tomorrow at 8:15 in picturesque Anderson County, Tennessee.
Who's running?
Yep. Terry Landell, noted local wrestling scumbag. It's called Tennessee Mountain Wrestling, and I will be attending it with my father, and I'll give you a full report. They are promoting, as their main event, a blindfold battle royal.
Okay. That's not good news.
This would either be funny to watch or just plain painful to watch.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we're going to have that. They have a wrestler working that I've never heard of called Dylan Van Dam.
DVD.
You know, I bet he comes out to Walk by Pantera.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
Well, the thing is, the guy running, I said, is Terry Landell, who he's sort of infamous in Tennessee. I think he's the younger brother of the Nature Boy, Buddy Landell. And he's been running promotions in Knoxville for a long time. Basically, his big thing now is he tries to run on the coattails of local wrestling legend, the King of Kingsport, Ron Wright, noted wrestler and manager extraordinaire. He also runs a used auto parts business called Premier Auto Center, and I don't think anyone trusts him anymore, but hey, it's $5 to get in, and I'll give you a full report.
There you go.
I look forward to it. So,
he had this bit years ago where he would call up to another wrestling show. Because, see, there were two promotions in the Knoxville area, and he'd call up to each of them, and he would call up on their local TV show. Now, I'm saying a local show, like on the local UHF channel that, like, maybe 1,000 people watched. And he'd call up every week, and he'd yell, "Who's your daddy?" And he even sold shirts that just said, "Who's your daddy?" Anyway.
Well, no, that's fine. Let's see. Do I have anything on my list? Oh, yes. Television programming note for next week. Next Monday night is the last episode for the season's Tough Enough, and it will be aired live.
Yes.
So we will get our eventual winner and absolutely no information on the four or five guys out of the group that they're going to sign. Anyway, a couple people have noted that on their digital TV schedules that Tough Enough reruns at 11:05, that they will potentially rerun Raw.
That would be interesting. Oh, and by the way, you were talking about Ron Killings earlier on using the technical issues for his to his advantage.
Yes.
On his Twitter, he said,
"Yeah,
you people see what I mean. I speak the truth, and WWE audio goes out. Conspiracy. WWE has been conspiring, and tonight was proof." Brilliant. Absolute brilliance.
Now that's a heel.
And, yeah, and fingers crossed that he gets to talk about that this coming Monday night.
Mm. And by the way, the two finalists that are left are Luke and Andy. Luke is, I will get his name, just 1 second, here, because I don't know the last name here.
I know one of the competitors was a former backyard wrestling sensation, M-Dog 20, Matt Cross.
He wrestled in Cleveland. I've actually worked with him before.
Yeah, because he and Josh Prohibition, they were a tag team called Euthanasia, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. I've met Josh. I didn't have the pleasure of working with him, but he was Josh popped up a couple of times at the Sammy Callahan special known as Lucha Corps. But I know that Josh has done a whole bunch of other work before that. M-Dog not only got me, you know, interested in watching Tough Enough, but unfortunately his elimination also sent me away from Tough Enough by the way that Stone Cold did it. You know, he may have had a point or two about you know, how Matt performs in the ring, but you do not just, you know, this man tried to respect you, Austin. He tried to be polite. He tried to show respect. He wasn't going to stand there and be an ass. He wasn't going to stand there and brag about his wrestling tenure. Not only did you shut him down, you shut him up, and you booted him in the ass and treated him like shit. There is no call for that. None. I don't care what you did for the fucking business, Austin. But who was looking all that up?
I was. The guy's name is, it's Luke Robinson, and Andy Levine is the guy's name.
Okay.
Andy Levine had a developmental deal with FCW under the name Kevin Hackman.
Okay.
And was released in February of 2011. And then he got, then Luke Robinson was just one of the final two. I mean, see, both of these guys have interesting, to me, because I've been watching the last few episodes, interesting looks to me. I mean, Luke is more of a Miz type, You know, he's cocky, he's flashy, he's a very good-looking guy. While Andy is a big, big brawler, but mentally not sure if he's got it to make it in the business. I mean, I think they both will get a deal, but I think we'll see how the final live match goes. But I also will say that I think there is going to be a season two next year with USA.
I think they will. Tough Enough was drawing better numbers than TNA.
Almost 2 million fans a week, pretty much.
Oh, by the way, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and Tough Enough having about as much wrestling as a TNA show with half the time to do it. You know, more power to them. You know, I'm not going to completely shit on Tough Enough. My personal bias is Stone Cold Steve Austin, unfortunately, is keeping me from what's probably a very good show.
Yeah, now I have a very cool, quick question for you. In Season 2, do you think they should keep the trainers the same or switch them up a little bit?
I'd like to see them switched up a little bit. I'm guessing that Austin is a draw for the show, so he's probably not going to go anywhere. I don't see Trish sticking around. Booker is a coin flip. I'd love to see Bill DeMott stick around because I think he really shines with this show. I think this is a really good place for him.
I say bring in Lance Storm.
I don't know if he would do it. He is still running his school. I mean, it would be great exposure for him, but I know that his school is still in operation. I don't know how many people he's ground out in the last few years. I'd have to ask around. Actually, I do know one of his graduates. I do know one of his graduates personally. My physical trainer, Sweet Lou Roberts, is a graduate of the Storm Academy.
Excellent.
And he's got some stuff coming up that he's going to be relocating at the end of the month. He's accepting a position with an organization out in Arizona. I don't know if he's actually going to get wrestling work out there. He's also threatened to fly back to Indianapolis so they can continue wreaking havoc with IPW as a member of the Messiahs of the New Age. But I don't know if that's going to happen. I do, but the relocation is happening for him. We've got a couple minutes left. Brian, yeah.
Okay. I saw something on SmackDown tonight. I thought it was really cool how they did it. They had Johnny Curtis, who won NXT Season 4. And he was saying that, and it was kind of cool what they did, but it was really confusing. He was up there and he said something like, "Hi, I'm Johnny Curtis." He said, "You know, my trainer was R-Truth, and I was promised a World Tag Team Title shot. That's not going to happen, so I'm going to do what everyone else in WWE does." And with that, he pulls out a large saucer and a bottle of milk, pours the milk onto the saucer, and starts crying. As in, you know, crying over spilt milk.
Right.
That in itself was clever. Then he takes the bottle of milk and just pours all the milk on him and stands there for about 5 seconds with no emotion as the milk drips on his face. And then they cut back to the announcers, and they were just silent for like 10 seconds as if to say, "What the hell?"
Blame him? I would have said the same thing. I saw the segment, and I'm like, I had heard about the segment. I saw the segment, and I was like, nice try, but you didn't. I don't think you got across what you really wanted to say.
And besides, Zack Ryder does it better.
Yeah, it wasn't Joe Henning's end of Season 2 promo bad, but it was definitely something where it was lost in the translation.
Yeah. But.
And from this moment on,
Do I have to stop you? Am I required to stop? I might have to stop.
Shut up!
because we are coming to the very end of the show. But we've had a good time here tonight, so I might even let this carry over into archive. So, gentlemen, please stick around. For in 10 seconds, that's where we're going to be.
All right. Not a problem. I'll be here.
Heck yeah.
Cool. Oh, we're in archive?
And just like that, we are now in archive.
Okay.
Reason I had you guys stick around is I'm gonna pass along some news that I've been teasing about over the past week, with a little bit of a lead in. This weekend, originally, my plan was to get up early tomorrow morning, drive down to nearby Grove City, where I'm hoping to shake Cody Rhodes. From there, I'm going to be on the road and spend the entire weekend in West Virginia attending SmackDown house shows in Wheeling and Huntington. Just the other day, I received a phone call that both have been postponed until September.
Really?
I'm not sure why, although I did notice in the crawl on SmackDown today that they are doing an international tour. They'll be out in Italy by the end of the day. So maybe they just wanted some extra travel time. After all, who knows, another volcano might go off.
Whoops.
So, with that opening up my weekend, you would think that I would find something equally as a recreational. Unfortunately, this weekend will be entirely business, as I am to gather my meager belongings, have them properly boxed. Anything that I don't want to take with me will either be thrown away, sold, traded, or burned. Not necessarily in that order. Because this little Heyman needs to relocate out into Henning country.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
This is actually a good thing. Where I will be relocating, I'll be out somewhere in the frozen tundra of what they call Minnesota.
As Lynn Carr once put it, Minnesota, where there's only two real seasons, winter and road construction.
Do not remind me of this. But I am relocating out there for better money, overtime, and a much more positive environment.
Awesome. That is fantastic. Cool.
My new duties officially start on July 5th. And this is why I mentioned on the NAWC Facebook that I will be meeting hosts to cover through the upcoming month. Next Friday I will be in Minnesota. Scouting out apartments, trying to find a new place to live. The following Friday is the 17th.
And I will be out of town, just to let you know. I will be in Indianapolis.
No, that's fine. I will actually be in, I will actually be home. But, that show's going to run a little short just because I'm going to be going to Michigan for my last wrestling commitment in the near area, which will be VIP. The 24th.
Yeah. If I can ask real quick, where you're moving to, are there wrestling promotions there that you can work for, or are you going to be hanging up the cell phone?
Oh, by no means. I'm going to do some research. I have. I've been given a couple of names to look up. And if I can find something close by, I'll certainly try to get involved. My new endeavor could potentially force me to hang up the cell phone, but at this juncture, I would like to continue. But what I'll be doing up out there is going to may even require 7 days a week at times, especially with the horrendous storm season that's been.
Joshua Missouri being a prime example. I won't go into details here. The 24th, I'm probably going to try to find somebody to take over, because I'm either going to be completely shot all to hell in trying to get the last of my stuff organized, or I might even be on the road. July 1st, I know I will be on the road, or I will still be in the process of getting everything set up, so I might not even have internet. So I will be looking for hosts. Jason, I had you down for a possibility.
Yeah, I will take probably, because I think Jim is taking the 10th, right?
I believe so.
So I'll take the 24th. I'll make sure that I'm available for the 24th show.
All right, give me just a moment. Let me go over to the page. No, Jim just said that he was available for all three dates. So we'll let Jim have the 10th, and if you want the 24th.
Yeah, I'll take the 24th, and then have Jim do the other one.
Okay. And then July 1st, Carl can take July 1st if he wants it. I'll let you guys fight over it. As long as the show is taken care of.
Show will be taken care of without a problem.
Okay. I do apologize that I will be absent, but this is a pretty big mess that I'm going to be cleaning up. Right now, my apartment looks like a abandoned storage closet with all the empty boxes and stray items strewn about. Just trying to find a place for them, even if it means out the door to Half Price Books or to the thrift shop across the street. So.
That is my
big news, and I will finally be able to post it on my Facebook. So,
let me just say congratulations, and I hope it works out for you, Nikki, because you're a fine individual, and I mean that sincerely. And you deserve the best.
Thank you, Brian. That does mean a lot to me.
I do also wish you nothing but the best in this endeavor that you're on. Good luck with everything that you're doing.
Oh, and Nikki, you know I've been through this from the very beginning. You know that I am incredibly happy for you.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
And so if I sound frazzled on the show on the 17th, you know why.
Okay. Nikki, I was meaning to ask you something real quick, sort of saying on topic. If I could ask, on the Jim Rome show, they got to call it Jungle Karma. If you guys could maybe, if any of you are of a religious persuasion, say a prayer for me. I can't disclose a lot, but I'm currently in the hunt for a job with the federal government. That would be
in Williamsburg. Oh, really? Well, hello.
Well, it's not. I won't be doing a government. I'm a headhunting company in Kentucky, which is not far from where I live. There's a job they've offered me where I'd be an office clerk for the local immigration office.
Ah, for the local INS. That'll work.
Yeah.
I actually worked almost 20 years ago now. I worked for an immigration attorney. It was bad then, it's worse now. Yeah.
But, hey, better than being unemployed, that's all I'm going to say. And the lady who interviewed me said I'm an excellent candidate. But right now I'm in the middle of having my background screened, which they're not going to find anything. But if you guys could just, if you are of a religious persuasion, Nikki, I'll pray hard for you if you'll say one for me that I get this job, because I hope I get it.
Everybody needs to be working, Brian, and I think you've got a pretty solid shot. If you've got nothing to hide, including any folding chair incidents that we might not have heard about up to now.
No, it was just the one.
Okay, so I don't think they're gonna reject you on a simple assault charge, so you'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know, if I may go a little off topic just for a second, I got a redneck story when I was actually at the office, which I had to go there on 2 hours sleep because I'm a night owl, and they scheduled my interview at 9 a.m. It was interesting because one of the guys who came in, because it's a headhunting company, and they had found this one redneck who had a beard, a job working at a bakery. and it was a good job. I mean, it had like 40 hours a week plus overtime benefits. The only problem was he had to cut his hair. I mean, he had to shave off his beard. He said, well, I tell you, man, I don't shave for no one. And I thought to myself, you complete idiot. And he walked away from the job.
Well, then you go get it. You know, that's his hang up.
Exactly. I mean, it's
the only thing that they might yell at me about is that I'm not going to be allowed to wear sneakers every day.
I mean, you know, and the lady who interviewed me, she said, I said to her, you know, jobs are so scarce nowadays. He should be lucky he was getting a job offer. And she said, thank you. So I think I got some of my brownie points with her.
Put it to you this way. If someone told me that I had to shave a beard for a job, I will tell you a very quick, interesting story. My father does community theater here in Brooklyn. And my father has had a beard for many, 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 many years. He had a part that he had to shave his beard for. My father played in a Holocaust play, a Nazi general. So what happened was that he had to shave his beard off for the first time in 40 years for that play. He did it. My sister did it, but the beard went off, and it was bizarre, but he was there. So I understand, and that guy was a moron. But I wish you again, you know, Brian, much success to you. I've got two job interviews next week myself.
Well, best of luck to you. We'll all just pray for each other.
Yeah, exactly. And so there you go. So, like I said,
I hate
the circle of karma. Go ahead. You were saying, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to say I hate to leave early, but my battery's dying. But I'll wish all of you good luck.
Absolutely. I'm going to take off here myself. So we will see you guys soon, and we'll talk next week.
All right. See Absolutely. You guys.
All right. Later.
Yep.
Night.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
I'm not in trouble.
Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, iTunes, and CLWA3.com. CLWA3 Network is all over the internet, online, on demand, and on the go.